Hello, and welcome to What is Digital Photography and What's New in Digital Photography, a podcast sponsored by HP. It's not expensive to look expensive with HP color laser jets starting at $299. With renowned print quality, fast print speeds, and a network-ready option, HP laser jets will help make your business look its best. Learn more at hp.go/colorprinter. HP. Brilliantly simple. I'm Alex Howard, assistant editor at whatis.com. Today, I'll be giving a quick overview of the history of the digital photography industry, discussing some of the most promising innovations coming up, and then offering a few of my favorite tips for how you can get the most out of your digital camera wherever you are. Digital photography is a genuinely disruptive technology, changing not only the major players in the film and camera industries, but creating entirely new venues for social interactions and opportunities for scientific and business applications. Companies that were legendary for their previous contributions failed to adopt the new technologies quickly enough and could not remain competitive. Polaroid, for instance, while justly famous for the innovation in film cameras that instantly developed photographs, did not adapt quickly enough and had to declare bankruptcy. Kodak, Nikon, Sony, and other makers of photograph equipment and film are still making the transition. Even as 2005 saw North American sales of digital cameras exceed those of film cameras for the first time, according to the InfoTrends Research Group, a digital imaging trends consultancy, huge losses continued to be reported in traditional film sales. Kodak, for instance, according to USA Today, reported the loss of over $1.4 billion in 2005. Due to weakness in the film market and the cost of the transition to digital, even while the company reaped record profits in digital camera sales. In a recent story in the New York Times, Nikon announced that it would stop making most of its film cameras and lenses and shift its focus primarily to digital cameras, as Nikon sales of film camera bodies accounted for only 3% of worldwide sales at the company's camera and imaging division, down from 16% the previous year. Canon and Sony, respectively the number one and two manufacturers of digital cameras, report similar trends of users migrating from film to digital. So, will film cameras disappear entirely from the market? Probably not, as artists and hobbyists will continue taking pictures with traditional cameras, making prints, and correspondents off the energy grid will keep cameras that do not rely on batteries as backups. But the overwhelming trend is towards all things digital. I'll discuss some of the challenges that going digital presents later in the broadcast. Digital imaging technology itself has been around since the early 1950s. The first videotape captured images from television cameras by converting the information into electrical impulses and then encoding it onto magnetic tape, thereby making it digital. Both video cameras and digital cameras use a CCD, or charged coupled device, to determine light color and intensity. Early applications for the technology were found by NASA in space exploration and astronomy, and the U.S. Defense Department in spy satellite photography. The first digital camera to hit the commercial market was the Sony Mavica electronic still camera in August of 1981. A mini disc was used to record the images. This disc could then be inserted into a video reader connected to a monitor or color printer. While historians may point out that the Mavica was a video camera that took video freeze frames and therefore not a true digital camera, there's no debate that the digital camera revolution began with its introduction. In the 80s, Kodak was a key driver of digital imaging technology, introducing the world's first megapixel sensor in 1986 and then a photo CD system in 1997. Megapixel refers to 1 million pixels, which in turn are defined as the smallest dot that goes into making the image. The number of pixels determines the resolution of the digital camera, just as the number of grains of silver halide determine the resolution of traditional print from film. In 1991, Kodak released the first professional digital camera, aimed at photojournalists, a Nikon F3 that Kodak had outfitted with a 1.3 megapixel sensor. Currently, scientists working in digital imaging may use cameras that have sensors that capture over 30 megapixels, though many professional news photographers use cameras in the 10 to 16 megapixel range. As resolution, color, and image quality have increased, markets for digital imaging that once were closed have opened up as well. Magazines that depend on glossy, high-quality photography have adopted digital, like National Geographic, Cosmopolitan, and GQ. Government agencies use digital photography coupled with facial recognition software for security at airports and other transit points. Scientists take digital photographs at the molecular level using electron microscopes, or at the global level, tracking weather patterns via satellite. Insurance and real estate agents use digital photography to instantly document claims or properties, cutting the time to awards or sales immensely. Contractors and construction workers can document progress on projects digitally and send images immediately to architects, engineers, or clients off-site, enabling instant feedback and avoiding crucial defects or miscommunications. There are trade-offs to be made in making the transition for any business. First, costs for digital equipment tend to be greater on the front end, especially for applications requiring a high level of detail. While costs associated with film purchasing, development, and printing offset this in the long run, other hidden costs exist as well, including the need for computers able to process and store digital images, printers capable of producing prints of sufficient quality, and training for staff to use the equipment. Small businesses or other organizations working on tight budgets may underestimate the amount of time that must be devoted on the back end to importing, editing, and storing photographs, accompanied by the technical problems associated with the software involved. Even professional photographers are struggling with photo editing, management, and printing issues, according to InfoTrends. The high volume of digital pictures taken, the learning curve encountered with software, and client demand all result in more time allotted to activities after the actual shoot and less time actually taking pictures. There are issues with the technology itself that present other special challenges. The delay in taking an exposure encountered by users of any but the most recent digital camera models can also be a significant issue for any application that demands an instant capture. Concerns about the ease with which a digital photo can be manipulated have also caused only 25 to 30% of U.S. police departments to go digital, despite the cost savings associated with cutting film purchasing and development and the advantage of instant distribution throughout a police force, according to CNN.com. Storage of archived digital photos can be an issue as well, as data burned onto compact discs or saved on hard drives may degrade over years, as compared to the decades of usability enjoyed by users of archived film. In the end, businesses, organizations, and individuals will have to consider the specific applications that photography will have within the workflow and all the associated costs and benefits to determine whether going digital makes the most sense for them. Now, let's get into what's new and exciting. Capabilities that once existed only within a lab, industrial complex, or the minds of science fiction writers have moved into the sphere of any tech-savvy individual or business equipped with a laptop, camera, and printer. An internet connection helps, too. What's more, the options to connect them all have grown by leaps and bounds in recent years. Business owners that used to be dependent on a photographer and a printer can now take care of all their own needs in-house in a fraction of the time once required. Nikon recently introduced a new model, the P1, which allows for wireless connectivity directly between the camera and a network, allowing a photographer to shoot and upload anywhere within an available network. While the initial version still has a few kinks to work out, consumers can expect a whole new generation of cameras that communicate wirelessly with a central server to arrive in the marketplaces over the next few years. Just as the connection to the network has moved into the camera has moved into the network. Ask any cellular phone company about the trend. According to the research firm Gartner, worldwide sales of camera phones reached $295.5 million in 2005, or 38% of total worldwide mobile phone sales. Strategy Analytics reported that camera phones outsold digital still cameras by 4-1 in 2004. Camera phones have even spawned whole new technologies and online ecosystems, as moblogs, or mobile weblogs, have popped up worldwide. In them, users can take pictures and upload them immediately to personal journals and community sites, or engage in collective photojournalism, as pictures uploaded from participants in recent student protests in France demonstrated. Camera phone users can take pictures of their location, a particularly good party, for instance, and send them instantly to a friend using the cellular phone network, inviting them along for the ride. Flickr, a website that provides users with a place to store, categorize, annotate, and share digital photos, has tapped into exactly the social aspect of digital photography, offering a superbly fluid way of managing and organizing users' rapidly expanding catalogs of pictures. Flickr makes it easy to share photography to a global audience. Over 100 million images have been uploaded by over 3 million users as of this recording, according to USA Today. Each image can also be tagged with descriptors like tennis, mountains, or Tokyo, which allow users on Flickr to quickly filter both their own work and discover that of others. This tagging mirrors similar social bookmarking found on sites like Delicious and Technorati.com. And speaking of tagging, there is another way that a camera can mark each capture. Digital photos can now be tagged with geographical data, or geocoded. A photographer can go on a day trip, shoot hundreds of pictures, upload, and see exactly where they were taken by overlaying the GPS data, global positioning system data, onto a map. Applications for the technology abound in real estate, insurance, city planning, and the sciences, as well as propping up many a hazy memory of fun-filled vacations. Very few cameras have this feature at the moment, but in the near future, the question, where was this taken again, may become as passe as depending upon the classifieds for the best prices on collectibles. It's a wonder that digital pictures ever leave the display, given the transferability of images between cameras, monitors, and television screens. But the options for sharing are now more varied and better than ever. Digital photographers now have access, at the consumer level, to high-quality at-home printing through inkjet and laser printers, using photo paper specially formulated to take and hold inks while maintaining a glossy or matte finish. These papers may have as many as 4 layers, each of which protects or stabilizes the image. Archival inks that have been formulated for long-term stability have also become available. Many companies have sprung up online, including Shutterfly, Picasa, and Kodak Gallery, formerly Ophoto, that now offer electronic on-demand publishing, or EPOD. EPOD offerings include classic 4x6 glossies, large format prints, bound cloth books, or even images printed on stretched canvas. I'd be guilty of a huge omission if I didn't include one of the biggest innovations in digital photography: digital SLRs, or single lens reflex cameras. Only recently available at prices affordable to the non-professional, a digital SLR allows a photographer to attach a lens from a traditional film camera onto a digital body, which offers the best of both worlds. Dust-free lenses? Got them. High-powered zooms? No problem. Macro functions allowing high-quality photography of the very small, or fisheye lenses allowing 170-degree photographs, are all now available in the digital world. While many consumers will still choose a more limited all-in-one model, those looking for more flexibility and the ability to use traditional lenses may find a digital SLR ideal. With all the innovations I listed, you may be wondering about how to use the digital camera you already have. Here are some of my favorite tips in no particular order. If you're shooting in a high glare environment, like the ocean or snow-capped mountain, with direct sunlight, you may want to use a polarized filter. A polarized filter removes certain spectra of light, darkening the sky, removing reflections from water, making foliage appear less shiny, and even enhancing color saturation. Put simply, your pictures will usually look much better if you use a polarized filter. If your camera is like my first digital, however, that accessory isn't readily available in most camera stores, or any. The solution: use a pair of polarized sunglasses. Make sure the lenses are clean, then just swing them in front of the camera. Simple and effective. Next tip: use the highest resolution possible on the camera, combined with a large capacity memory card. In today's market, that means at least 512 megabytes, but try to get a 1 gigabyte card if possible. You'll be able to crop and make full-size prints without losing image quality. At lower resolution, cropping and zooming will exhibit pixelation, or obvious digital effects around the edges of the objects in your picture. This is undesirable and avoidable. Pair this habit with an extra memory card or two, and you're in business. Now that you're taking all the pictures that those memory cards allow, your camera is going to suck down batteries like a beachgoer drinking lemonade on a hot day. You can save some money by investing in rechargeable batteries and avoid being caught out by carrying extra batteries, ideally at least enough for one replacement load. These last two tips may seem obvious, but believe me, without enough storage capacity or power, the best camera in the world is merely an expensive paperweight. I also find it useful to carry an external hard drive on my belt or in my gear to offload photos while I'm away from my computer, affectionately nicknamed a photo wallet. An iPod may now be used in this way as well, if you enable the functionality and purchase a full-size model. The Shuffle or Nano may not have quite enough space for your needs. And here's another old technology that mates perfectly with the new. A tripod. For those who put the highest premium on transportability, this may not be the tip for you, but tripods are lighter and more collapsible than ever. Even better, using a tripod allows you to capture the fluidity of moving water, or star tracks the nighttime sky, or take great pictures of yourself, if you want to do that, by eliminating any movement from the camera while you take the long exposures necessary for low-light environments or motion capture photography. I've already mentioned it once, but this one bears repeating. Tagging your photos will save you immense amounts of time and frustration. Use a file name that's descriptive of the subject or location, and you'll be thanking yourself years later when you are searching through thousands of files. Finally, there's a nifty ability out there called photo stitching, which allows a photographer to make a panoramic shot out of a series of pictures taken side by side. A panoramic picture refers to an unbroken view of an entire surrounding area, usually exhibited as a long, horizontal, rectangular print. While pulling this off used to send a photographer to the darkroom with scissors and tape, now an enlightened user can find the option in Photoshop, or if that professional-level application is beyond your budget, you can download a demo version of AutoStitch for free from the University of British Columbia and connect the shots in a flash. I hope you found at least one new idea or technique in today's podcast. Please feel free to send us your own tips and comments at whatis.com, and keep those cameras clicking. Thank you for listening.